Chapter 18, Moksha Yoga, The Path of Liberation. Arjuna said, O Almighty Lord, Slayer of the Demon Keshi, I wish to understand the subject of renunciation, sannyas, and detachment, tyaga, separately. The Supreme Lord said, Learned, enlightened persons know the giving up of fruitive action as renunciation, and the giving up of the fruits of all action as detachment. Some philosophers hold that action should be renounced as imperfect. Others hold that action of the nature of sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be given up. O best of the Bharatas, hear my perfect conclusion concerning detachment, the quality of renunciation, since, O best of men, it has been clearly established that the quality of renunciation is of three types. Actions of the nature of sacrifice, charity, and austerity should never be abandoned. They must be performed, for they are the purifiers of the wise. But even these actions must be performed abandoning attachment and fruitive desire. O Partha, know this to be my perfect supreme conclusion. Renunciation of one's obligatory duties is wrong. The delusion of giving up these duties is called false renunciation, or renunciation of the nature of ignorance. One who abandons his obligatory duties out of fear of physical discomfort, considering them troublesome, performs renunciation of the nature of passion. Thus he does not attain the fruit of true detachment. O Arjuna, the performance of obligatory works as a matter of duty, while abandoning attachment and fruitive desire, is renunciation of the nature of goodness. This is my opinion. The wise renunciate who is absorbed in the nature of goodness and who has slashed all doubts, neither resents disagreeable duties, nor is attached to agreeable works. It is not possible for the embodied soul to fully renounce actions. However, one who renounces the fruits of his actions is a true renunciate. After death, the three kinds of fruits of actions, good, bad, and mixed, accrue to those who have worldly desires, but never to those who are renounced. O mighty hero, know from me of the five causes of the accomplishment of all actions, as described in the conclusive teachings of the scripture known as Sankhya or Vedanta. All actions are accomplished by these five causes. The body, the performer, ego, and not of spirit and matter, the instrument, the senses, the various endeavors, and the divine, the supersoul. Whether lawful or unlawful, whatever action a man performs with his body, mind, or speech is caused by these five elements. But an ignorant person who sees only himself as the doer does not actually see due to his impure intelligence. He who is free from egoism, aversion to the absolute, and whose intelligence is not implicated in worldly action, even if he kills the entire world, he neither kills nor is he bound by action. These three are the driving force of action: knowledge, the knowable, and the knower. These three are the constitution of action: the instrument, the action, and the performer. In the Sankhya scripture, knowledge, action, and the performer have each been classified according to the three modes of material nature. Now hear of these from me. That knowledge by which the one imperishable and undivided principle, my superior divine potency, is seen to be present in all the diverse living beings, is to be known as knowledge of the nature of goodness. That knowledge in which one experiences in the plane of living beings many separate, independent entities engaged in many separate, clashing pursuits, is to be known as knowledge of the nature of passion. And that ideology which is stubbornly attached to the peripheral only, considering it to be all in all, without spiritual or scriptural conception, without seeking the truth, and based on trivialities alone, is said to be knowledge of the animalistic nature of ignorance. That obligatory action which is faithfully executed without attachment by a person who does not seek its rewards and who is unbiased by likes and dislikes is said to be action of the nature of goodness. And that action which is performed with great endeavor by an egotistic person desiring its fruits is said to be action of the nature of passion. And that work which is undertaken out of delusion, without consideration for its consequences, its loss, harm to others, and one's capability of performing it, is called action of the nature of ignorance. The worker who is unattached, without ego, patient, enthusiastic, and unaffected in success or failure, is known as a worker of the nature of goodness. The worker who is attached, desirous of the fruits of action, covetous, cruel, engaged in abominable practices not sanctioned by the scriptures, and always subject to joy and sorrow, is known as a worker of the nature of passion. The worker who is uncontrolled, vulgar, arrogant, deceitful, offensive, lazy, despondent, and a procrastinator is known as a worker of the nature of ignorance. O Dhananjaya, now listen attentively. I shall clearly describe the three types of intelligence and determination according to the modes of nature. O Partha, intelligence of the nature of goodness is that which can distinguish virtuous engagement and abstinence from vice, duty and non-duty, danger and safety, and bondage and liberation. O Partha, intelligence of the nature of passion is that which causes an erroneous perception of religion, irreligion, duty and non-duty. Intelligence of the nature of ignorance is covered by illusion, whereby vice is considered virtue, and everything is taken to be the opposite of the reality. O Partha, determination of the nature of goodness is that determination which unfailingly and with single-minded concentration controls the functions of the mind, the life airs, and the senses. O Partha, O Arjuna, determination of the nature of passion is that fruitive, attached determination which adheres to religiosity for the purpose of amassing wealth to fulfill mundane desires. Determination of the nature of ignorance is that by which a foolish person does not give up sleep, fear, sorrow, depression, and arrogance. O Bharata Shabha, now hear from me about the three kinds of happiness. That state in which one is joyful through his practices, while attaining the cessation of all unhappiness, and which in the beginning is like poison, but ultimately like nectar, and which is born of the purity of self-realization. That happiness is said to be of the nature of goodness. That happiness which is born of the contact of the senses with their sense objects, and which is like nectar in the beginning, but poison in the end, is said to be happiness of the nature of passion. That happiness which is self-deception from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is called happiness of the nature of ignorance. Amongst all species on earth, including the humans, or amongst even the celestial gods in the heavenly plane, there is no entity that can be free from these three modes, which are born of material nature. O Parantapa, according to their natures, the duties of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are appropriately classified. Internal and external sense control, austerity, purity, forbearance, straightforwardness, knowledge, realization, and theistic mentality, these are the natural duties of the Brahmanas. Prowess, valor, endurance, dexterity, never retreating in battle, generosity, and regality, these are the characteristic duties of the Kshatriyas. Agriculture, cow protection, and trade are the natural work of the Vaishyas, and natural to the Shudras is service to the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, assisting them in their various works. One who devotes himself to his own duty attains perfection in self-knowledge. Now hear from me how a person attains perfection through devotion to his own duty. A man achieves perfection by worshipping, through his prescribed duties, the Supreme Lord from whom all beings originate, by whom all beings are engaged, and who, individually and collectively, pervades the entire universe. One's own duty, though imperfect, is better than another's executed well. Sin is never incurred by a man fulfilling the duty prescribed according to his nature. O Kauntea, even though it may be imperfect, one should not give up the duty prescribed according to his nature. Verily, all action, karma, is generally covered by imperfection, as fire is covered by smoke. One who has the wisdom of detachment from all mundane objects, who is self-controlled, and whose desires have gone, such a person attains the perfection of transcending all duties in the world by renouncing the fruits of his actions. O Kauntea, now know from me in brief how the person who has attained transcendence of all duties reaches the transcendental plane of the Absolute, the ultimate state of knowledge, spiritual awakening. Endowed with intelligence of the nature of goodness, mentally controlled through determination of the nature of goodness, rejecting the sense objects of sound, touch, form, taste, and smell, abandoning attachment and aversion, free from the association of materialistic persons, a temperate eater, disciplining the body, mind, and speech, constantly absorbed in thought of the Supreme Lord, and fully detached from the mundane world, giving up ego, power, vanity, desire, anger, and possessiveness, not thinking of anything as mine, being at peace, such a person is qualified for spiritual realization. The joyful-hearted, enlightened soul who has attained his divine nature neither sorrows nor desires. Seeing all beings equally, he comes to attain transcendental loving devotion for me. Through devotion, he realizes that I am the Lord of all potencies and the Sweet Absolute. Then, realizing his divine relationship with me, he enters the company of my intimate associates, who are non-different from my very self. Although ever active in all duties, those who have taken refuge in me attain, by my grace, the eternal indestructible plane of service. Wholeheartedly offering your every action to me, keeping me as the supreme objective, and fully dedicating your intelligence to me, being unattached to worldly action, be ever devoted to me. Giving your heart to me, you will be able to overcome all obstacles by my grace. But if out of pride you do not heed my words, you will perish. Out of pride you are thinking, I shall not fight. But your decision will be in vain, for your nature, as a Kshatriya, will compel you to fight. O Kaunteya, being bound by the duty born of your nature, that very action which out of delusion you are now avoiding will be inevitably executed by you. O Arjuna, the Supreme Lord is situated in the hearts of all beings, and by his deluding potency he causes them to revolve through many existences, like puppets riding a carousel. O Bharata, wholeheartedly surrender to him. By his grace you will attain the supreme peace and the eternal abode. I have now revealed more and more profound teachings to you. Duly consider this, and then do as you wish. Now again hear my supreme teaching, the most hidden treasure of all. I tell you this for your benefit, as you are most dear to me. And to this verse there is a commentary. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vidvad Ranjan, commentary 9.1, the wisdom of self-realization in the second and third chapters of Sri Gita are the profound, guhyam teachings of Lord Sri Krishna. The Lord's descriptions of himself as the Supreme in the seventh and eighth chapters are more profound, guhyataram. As such, knowledge gives birth to devotion. In chapter 9, the most profound, guhyatamam, teachings begin as the Lord describes the symptoms of exclusive devotion, kevala bhakti. Because his devotee Arjuna is very dear to him, the Lord now repeats his secret teaching for Arjuna's benefit. This time, however, he reveals his most hidden of all hidden treasures, sarva guhyatamam, his most affectionate advice. Quote, Arjuna, you are most dear to me, so I will now divulge the whole truth to you. Close quote. Think of me always, devote yourself to me, worship me and bow to me, and surely you will come to me. I promise you this because you are dear to me. Give up all kinds of religion and surrender to me alone. I will liberate you from all sins. Do not despair. Commentary. Here the glory of the hidden purpose of the Bhagavad Gita is sung. Gita Gudartha Gauravam. Give up all engagements and come to me. You won't have to repent, Arjuna, because I am everything to you, and you are everything to me. This is the most hidden of all hidden truths. What more can I say? And you will find this in Braja. There is a literary ornament in Sanskrit called Dvani, echo, by which a word echoes, suggests an additional meaning. Here such a hint is given. Mam ekang sharanam vraja. And here there's a footnote, which is, in the verse, vraja means go, and vraja is also a name for Vrindavan. So back to the text. Mam ekang sharanam vraja. You may go to Braja, and there you will find the most hidden of all hidden truths, sarva guhyatamam. The deepest secret of the inner loving heart has been fully revealed there. I am beyond all conceptions of religion, society, friends, everything. My position is above everything and in the heart of everything. In the eternal land of Braja, you will experience the whole conception of beauty. Dismiss all other engagements and prospects and come to me alone. Your inner hankering will be fulfilled beyond your expectations. You will find such dignity in me that you will be beyond reaction and repentance. This is the deepest meaning of the highest glory. If one comes to this conception, everything else will be seen as sin. Aham tvam sarvapabhivyo mokshayishyami. Everything conceived of as duty or purity in this material world will be seen as sinful, and all conceptions of religiosity will be reduced to the level of sin. In the absolute plane, everything and everyone belongs wholly to Krishna, and the slightest deviation from this ideal is no better than committing sin. Mere self-forgetfulness leads to impersonalism and culminates in deep slumber. With self-forgetfulness, sarvadhaman parityaja, in Krishna's service, mam ekam sharanam vraja, is positive and living. It is the full, absolute plane of life. The hidden treasure attracts our hearts. We have been deprived of our heart's deepest interest. Though we have a natural claim to it, it has been hidden from us. Shruti bhir vimrigyam. In an unparalleled way, Sri Gita considers all these aspects and directs us to the correct meaning and conclusion of all the Upanishads. From this point, the Srimad Bhagavatam begins. End of the commentary, and returning to the text translations at text 67. You should never disclose this hidden treasure to one devoid of self-sacrifice, to the non-devotee, to the faithless, to one who is averse to my service, or to one who is resentful towards me. One who reveals the glories of this supreme secret to my devotees will attain transcendental devotion for me and reach me without a doubt. In the entire human society, there is no one who pleases me by his actions more than he who preaches the glories of the Bhagavad Gita. Nor will there ever be anyone in the world dearer to me than he. And one who studies with devotion this holy conversation of ours will worship me by the knowledge sacrifice. This is my conclusion. Simply by hearing this with an open heart, a faithful person is liberated and attains to the auspicious abodes of the virtuous souls. O Partha, have you listened to this with your undivided attention? O Dhananjaya, are you now free from the darkness of your delusion? Arjuna said, O Infallible One, by your grace my delusion is now gone. I can now remember who I am. My doubts are destroyed, and I am firm in my resolve. I shall follow your instructions. Sanjaya said, thus I heard this wondrous conversation of the Supreme Soul, Vasudev, and the son of Pritha, Arjuna, which arouses ecstasy in the hearts of all. By the mercy of Sri Vyasadeva, I heard this supreme secret teaching of yoga, sung directly by the Supreme Lord of Yoga, Lord Krishna himself. O King, ever remembering this miraculous, sacred conversation of Lord Sri Krishna and Arjuna, my heart thrills over and over again. And remembering, O King, I marvel at that astonishing, almighty, universal form of the Supreme Lord Hari, and my whole being thrills with ecstasy. Where there is Yogeshwar Krishna, and where there is Arjuna, the winner of wealth with bow in hand, there prevails fortune, victory, prosperity, and virtue. This is my opinion. End of chapter 18. The Path of Liberation, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge in Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses.